Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
New champions are crowned, a pay-per-view goes international, and big returns in the WWE. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So BFG is going to be in Japan. So that's Bound for Glory. TNA's Bound for Glory 2014. Is this a good move having it in Tokyo? And will it be live?
You know, that's something that I thought about the moment they said it was in Japan. I thought, well, is it going to be live then? Because, you know, of course, there's a pretty big time difference, you know, between, you know, here and there. So I wonder if it might be on, you know, maybe a little bit earlier or even potentially a little bit later. But we'll find out. But I do think that this is big news for TNA because expanding yourself to be more of a global brand than just a national brand is a big deal. And look, I understand. Look, they're really big in Europe. I don't know how they fare in Japan, but, you know, in the U.S., they are a U.S.-based company, and they don't do nearly as well here as they potentially could. So if you expand to Japan, you might get a lot more viewers, in which case that's going to help out with your TV deals, and it's going to help out back home as well because you're going to get a lot more exposure. So I think this is really good news for TNA.
What if Spike TV does not renew their contract, and then Bound for Glory happens, but it's – I think 2 or 3 weeks prior to that, what if their contract's up with Spike and they have nothing leading up to it? What happens?
Are they done? I really do not think that Spike will drop them. They are a program that gets them a really solid ratings and
so
they don't
Cops.
Really have to do much.
Cops yeah, but, gets them a solid rating, a higher rating.
No it doesn't. Cops does
yes,
not
it does.
Get them. No, it doesn't. Cops does not get them a higher rating.
Oh,
TNA
gosh.
It gets some good enough ratings where it's like, well, what else are we going to have? What else are we going to put on here? You know, we have to have some original content. It's got to be something for guys. And this is what they're going to do. So I believe that TNA is going to be around for a long time with Spike.
That's one thing. But also you remember at one of the tapings that's coming up, Bully did something to Dixie that they said never do that. And then they went against Spike TV's rules.
So.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. So Josh,
rules were meant to be broken, Andy.
Yes, they are. And Josh Matthews, which is probably, I think, the surprise release to me, he's gone. And this is weird because he did all the shows. He did all the pre-shows and the backstage pass stuff. He also did the SmackDown when they did that as well, and it was just him only. I thought that was intriguing that he's the one let go. Because there's other guys that are younger that, honestly, they don't need to be there. They're not as good. Not even close.
Yeah, I actually like Josh Matthews. I thought that he was pretty talented. And, I think his name is like Byron Saxton or something like that. I don't really care for him. I don't think he's very good. And I like Josh Matthews a lot better. So this, I think, was a really big surprise.
Yeah, it's just it's sad that it happened. The other surprise was that Emma was released because she was busted for shoplifting and an iPod mini case that retails for about $15.
So first she was arrested.
Yes, she was arrested. And here's the weird. Go ahead.
And then I of course updating our document, you know, and I put she's gonna be released in 3, 2, and then on Wednesday she gets released. And then 2 hours later, WWE's like, you know what? We're going to reinstate her. Now, Andy, you have a little bit of insight into this.
Okay. She gets arrested for a 6-degree larceny, which is shoplifting something under $250. Realistically, she was going through a self-checkout lane. And I'm sorry, but if you've ever had to go through one of those, it's not fun. But if you're in a hurry, you just do it. Apparently, she forgot to put this iPod mini case that... it cost about $20. Okay, so it happens. So they arrest her for it, which I find really weird that you're doing self-checkout and somehow you still stole something. Something's fishy there. Well, the WWE releases her the following day, on Wednesday, and then people start, Twitter blows up. They're like, Jack Swagger had a DWI. That's worse than shoplifting. And he stole at the company. In fact, I think he's a very solid mid-carder. The other one, Cameron from the Funkadactyls. Oh, she gets a DUI, and then she tries to bribe the officer that she was arrested by. The bribe doesn't stick, of course. They throw that out. DUI, she does the whatever the fines are. I think that's those two things are worse than what Emma did. Because I believe it was a complete misunderstanding.
And I agree with you. I think it was a misunderstanding. I think that this is an example of, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, this is something where it's like, look, she should not have been arrested. It should have just been like, look, you need to pay for this and, you know, you can't come here again, you know, plain and simple. And it was a Walmart. I mean, really, like, I'm sure she makes like 60 to 90K a year. I doubt that she really is like, oh, you know what? This is 15, 20 bucks. I really need to have it. You know, I'm going to go ahead and steal it. I can afford the iPod or the iPad or whatever it was. I can afford that, but I can't afford a case for it. So I need to steal that. You know, honestly, it's a mountain out of a molehill. And I think that WWE, honestly, I think it was a really bad idea for them to release her in the first place. I think that this is why you need to take a couple of breaths, think about the situation and think about the backlash that potentially could happen for something like this.
And before we move on to WWE program this week, I actually want to bring up something that I bashed Ring of Honor for. They actually rented a lighting rig to basically make the presentation of this pay-per-view they had, Best in the World, better. And it turns out that they couldn't, the fairground would not allow them to have it because they didn't believe that they could actually hold it up. Because it's a lot of weight, and they didn't think their building basically could hold it up. So I got to give Ring of Honor, I bashed them a few weeks ago about it. I got to give them credit. They actually tried to put the effort into doing that. And also, I thought it was kind of cool they tried to get John Morrison to appear on the pay-per-view along with Evan Bourne. Couldn't happen, though. So anyways, let's move on to WWE program for this week. So John Cena is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I think mm-hmm. I got it right that time. So he yes. is now your new champion. Safe bet?
Well, absolutely. It's a safe bet. My question is, you know, John Cena now is 15-time World Heavyweight Champion. Actually, let me ask you this first. Is he going to break Ric Flair's record?
Yeah, he will. It's going to happen. There's no way around it because John Cena is going to have at least two more title reigns as the world champion. And it's not because he does deserve it. No matter how I look at it, he does. But he also puts people in the seats, you know? So you gotta give it to that guy because of that. That's the main reason. If he did not put the people in the seats, then I can understand why they don't put the belt on him. But he deserves it. He brings the money in.
In a way, he does. The one thing that does kind of annoy me, though, about the fact that he is a 15-time WWE champion is when you see how long he's held the title for and multiple occasions, and when you see 20 days, you see 14, you see one day, you see, oh, let's take a look here. Actually, I think that's it. Yeah, that those are like the low ones, you know, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a day. Like, what's the point in giving somebody a title if you're going to just take it off of them immediately? It makes no sense. It's like giving somebody reins just so that way they can have them. And it doesn't, you know, further any storylines. It's kind of dumb. But anyway, that's off topic. I want to actually talk about what they're going to do with him as champion. Because now that he's the champion, he's the focal point of the show. You know, this is the main storyline now going forward. And we got a fatal four-way for the pay-per-view. So we already got a title match ready to go. But what do they do with him? Because he's going to probably retain at the pay-per-view. And so who's going to be his next big opponent? Is it going to be Daniel Bryan? Is it going to be Brock Lesnar?
Well, I believe it's going to be Brock Lesnar. I mean, it turns out that the DVD cover of SummerSlam was faked, as you told me earlier. But that wouldn't surprise me. But so also that cover that came out, I thought it was interesting that people in the WWE were very upset about it. So maybe someone had some inside knowledge. But here's the weird part. I believe that Bad News Barrett was actually going to be the World Heavyweight Champion. Here's why.
Well, so he was going to win the briefcase, and then he was going to win the
briefcase because I believe because everyone knows now that that match was changed. So whatever originally was going to happen in the Money in the Money in the Bank match, that changed.
I don't think it did.
But the whoever was going to win the titles never changed. That always stayed the same. How interesting would it be if John Cena, you know, wins it, Ben Barrett comes out, and Bullhammer, 1, 2, 3, he's now the world champion.
Well, that sounds interesting, but that was not going to be the original plan.
But
there's
why
no
did they
way.
Scramble to change it to Seth Rollins? Because that was the safe bet then.
They did not scramble to change it. That was set in place for a long, long time. It wouldn't have made sense, honestly. And I said last week, I said that it was really Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, and there were a few other people in the match. That's what the match was. It was only those two. And that only those two had a chance of winning the briefcase. I said, Bad News Bear, maybe. But even him, I don't think that it would have even helped him out. Because he has the IC title, and they were actually giving him a really great run with it. And so I think that realistically, Seth Rollins didn't have that much, and Dean Ambrose didn't either. You give him that briefcase, and guess what? Now they're an attraction. So I disagree with you there. I really do. But I got to ask you. So you think, though, it's going to be Cena and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I believe it'll be for the world title.
Well, I would imagine
that
it would be.
And I believe that what will happen is that Brock Lesnar wins. Beats John Cena for the title.
No, and I don't disagree with you there, but I'm asking you. You really think that they're going to give Cena the title, let him hold it for 50-odd days or whatever, and just lose it to Brock Lesnar?
If it means that you are going to subscribe to the WWE Network another 6 months at Night of Champions and Brock Lesnar is there, and it's Lesnar versus Cena, Cena wins, Rollins cashes in, bam, your new champion. And that would be where you have to re-up for your subscribers. Why not?
But that also means that Cena is now a 16-time world champion.
Well, yeah. But realistically,
do you think WWE even cares about that? Let me ask you.
Do I believe John Cena actually thinks the titles mean something?
No, I'm asking you, do you think WWE even cares?
Same
that
answer.
He's
no. Because John Cena, he said after, I want to say it was like his 9th title run, they said, does the title mean something to you or is it more of a prop? And he actually said, it's more of a prop, but it does mean something. But he said prop first. So that means he thinks that title is meaningless. It's just a prop. So that's at least my thinking on that. The weird part, and I kind of expected this to eventually happen, Swagger is now a face for now. He's probably going to, you know, next Raw, he's going to turn, be a heel. You know, he's going to be Kaz in TNA, where he kept changing over a month, 2 month period, bam, different. So,
I got to say, I was very bewildered by this segment because Swagger and Zeb Coulter's whole gimmick, their whole shtick was about, you know, saying we the people and get the immigrants out of here. And now they're faces and people, they were chanting USA, which is fine. But the fact that they chanted Jack Swagger, they were saying Swagger. I was taken aback. I was like, I don't think he's ever heard his name in front of a large crowd like that. Like there's no possible way. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this because when you have when you have Rusev and Swagger go at it, Rusev's obviously going to win, but you could see the potential of Swagger actually doing something because, you know, he is fairly patriotic. And so you could see him potentially getting a win out of this match. I mean, do you think that that's possible?
Well, let's put it this way. Big E, at one point, I thought he was going to beat Rusev at the pay-per-view. He didn't. And they actually put on a decent match, but I believe it was more Big E that made the match decent. With Jack Swagger, I don't think anyone's ever chanted for him because he was such a noob. Even when he won the title, people were like, who's that guy? And he was a heel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I dig their new t-shirt. Don't get me wrong. I love that. The fact that they have the imprint of the hand. I think that's awesome. I haven't wanted to buy a t-shirt in a while. And for some reason that
that made me was I kept thinking, I was like, genius. That's all I kept thinking about. It was genius.
Yeah.
You know, good for Jack Swagger, but when it comes to it, you know, like when he faces an American, how is it going to react? I mean, because they're preaching, I guess I would say, hate to a certain extent. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
what's the point of him turning face when he may just turn right back?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with him. If he stays face, I doubt it's going to be for longer than like 6 months. You know, I just don't see him as a long face run. So, but Andy, you know, something that you had talked about just a little bit earlier that we should kind of touch on is that Rollins won the Money in the Bank briefcase. So he won the actual briefcase that he gets to cash in now anytime he wants. They kind of teased it a little bit on Raw. He was going to cash in on Cena. But then Ambrose earlier in the night said, whenever you try and cash that in, I will be there to stop you. And he was there to stop him. So he stopped him from cashing in. Is this going to be kind of the like theme that they're going to have now? So Rollins is going to try to cash in. Ambrose is going to stop him and even potentially cost him the match. Is that what you think might happen?
They're going to have some match, and I believe when it happens, it'll be something like a false count anywhere or a street fight, something like that. They're going to have a match like that. And I believe what will happen is that Rollins will win, and then he'll try and cash in that night. And I would find it interesting if somehow Ambrose just came in and got him disqualified. Just because if he gets disqualified, that's it. Like the John Cena problem where he cashed it in unsuccessfully.
He won.
Well, he won, but unsuccessfully. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I find a little weird, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, if you get disqualified, you get DQ'd, you know? I mean, I've always thought, too, like with the Money in the Bank, you know, with the briefcase itself, I've always thought that, you know, would be the best thing in the world is for the person who is going to lose the title, just go outside the ring, get counted out. You know, that's all you have to do. Just get counted out.
But most of the time when they cashed in, the guy's like, done. He's like, oh, I'm so hurt. Can't do anything.
I totally understand. Totally understand. But that's what anyway. But that's going a little bit far outside the realm. I'm excited to see these two. I actually think that they've been putting on some really great programs. And I think that this is one of the more interesting feuds right now in WWE. And I think that both these guys have a really bright future. So I think it was probably a smart thing for WWE to break up the Shield. I actually understand it a little bit more now because they saw all three people as superstars. And they said, look, we're not wasting our time, but we're kind of biding it, you know. And so we need to get these people fast-tracked to superstardom. So, but Andy, speaking of superstardom, we had a couple of really big returns. And we saw AJ Lee and Chris Jericho make their returns. I got to ask you, which one were you more excited about?
The Miz. Come on, he's a big movie star now. He's in the Marine Corps, straight to DVD. straight to Walmart.
Yeah, you notice I left him out of the dock, right?
Right. AJ Lee, the unpregnant AJ Lee. It was surprising. She came back. The rumor was she was pregnant. And, of course, that turned out to be false. She looked pretty good for being pregnant. I did like the fact that she kept showing off, as you'll see in the artwork, her wedding band and engagement ring. That was intriguing. And if I'm correct, wasn't the shirt that she was wearing, wasn't that a CM Punk shirt?
No. Are you kidding me?
They
would totally let her wear that. No, she's wearing her Love Bites shirt.
Oh, okay.
So she won her Divas title back, and I thought that was kind of an interesting choice. I'm wondering how the relationship is right now with AJ and WWE. I almost wonder, too, if they're trying to like kind of win favor with Punk. You know, it really kind of makes me wonder because if they're married now, it's not like, oh, hey, you guys happen to be dating. You know, hey, tell us a little bit about him. What's going on? You know, it's, oh, you're married to him. Like that's your guy. You know, that's it. You're talking to him every single day. You're talking to him at work sometimes. I mean, you know, I kind of think they're trying to, you know, save face with him, to be honest.
Well, I think they're also trying to change the old turn page heel, which they did, sort of. You know, there can be some really good women's matches coming up because, of course, at the pay-per-view, you know, it's going to be AJ Lee versus Paige.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they did it mostly because CM Punk's contract runs out here and over the next 2.5 weeks. So at some point, we don't know when, but at some point.
You're saying that's why they gave her the title.
I believe so. Because then they can convince him to stay. They could also, I mean, there's a lot of things they could try. Who knows with Punk? I bet he, I mean, he says he's done, but who knows? I keep changing my mind on it. One day I think, oh, he'll be back. And then I start thinking, oh, no, he won't. But maybe if she brings a piece of hardware home, maybe that changes things.
Yeah, who knows? But the other one was Jericho. So Jericho made his return against Miz. And then,
the Miz.
And then Wyatt's come out. And so it looks like we're going to see a Jericho-Wyatt match. I got to say, I was very surprised by this. I did not think that that was going to happen. They actually, WWE surprised me for once, you know, and it's not something that they do often. So I was very happy about that. What do you think of Jericho taking on the Wyatts?
Well, I think that they were doing something previous to this. I thought them and Jericho were doing something together.
No, because Jericho wasn't around.
I thought he was. Huh.
No. Jericho hasn't been in WWE for a while, since last WrestleMania.
Are you sure?
What match did he wrestle in this WrestleMania?
Yeah, good point. No, I thought he's been back. Now I'll think about it. I'll really have to think about it. So the whole thing with the Wyatts, yeah, they attack Jericho, which I think is actually going to be good because Jericho's going to put Bray over, which I think he should. And he'll do it at a pay-per-view, Battlegrounds, the next one. I'm glad to see Jericho back, and I like the fact that he's actually going to be doing the live events as well, which some guys, when they come back in, they don't even bother. They're like, we don't need it. He actually
I think he said that he is doing 10 events a month, if I'm correct. And so that means that you got, four for Raw, maybe four for SmackDown, potentially. So that's eight. And if, he skips a SmackDown or two, then, you got him at a few house shows, which is pretty cool. And so that's pretty nice. I do agree with that. With Jericho being back, the one thing I actually kind of don't like, though, is that all he does is put people over. And I kind of like that, well, he might lose this match, or he's probably going to win this match. I actually kind of like that. And with Wyatt, what I would personally do with him is I'd have him lose a match, but I'd also have him win one. I'd have him get a win over them because it's something that would make the fans go, oh, okay, this is a little different. He actually can win. He can, he can put one over on them. And so that's what I would like to see.
Well, I believe that he'll win a match, but I think it'll be the Raw after the pay-per-view. Like on the pay-per-view, he'll put the guy over, but on Raw or SmackDown, he'll actually, they'll put him over instead, which is, what Jericho's been doing for a while, because Jericho, I remember him saying at one point, he doesn't need to get put over by anyone. So
he doesn't need to get put over. And it's not about him being put over, but it's about, when you think about it, when you see a match and you're like, oh, we know that he's going to win. I think like Undertaker, like every year he came back and it's like, oh, it's the streak. He's going to win. That's why, honestly, with the Brock Lesnar match with Undertaker, I did not really care for the match because I'm like, oh, how's he going to win? How's he going to win? Just hurry up and get it over with. It was like, I've seen this movie before. I know what happens. And then something different happened, And so it's the same thing with Jericho. He comes in, he puts a bunch of people over and it's like, oh, really? He got beat by Fandango, for Christ's sake. Come on,
Lesnar got beat by Fandango?
Anyway, Andy, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEShop.com. So let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So the Wolves defeat who?
The Menagerie.
The Menagerie?
Yes.
And
what do you think about the Menagerie?
I don't know. I honestly, I know they have a former cheerleader, could care less on the team. I know they pushed it at the pay-per-view that she was a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Big deal. Knox, man. Crazy Steve, man. Rob Terry, man.
So you're not very impressed by him is what it sounds like.
You care less.
So they're kind of like a combination between the Oddities and the Wyatts is what I would say.
Okay, yeah. I guess that's the best way to put it. Like, they're kind of weird like the Wyatts, but they're more like the Oddities because they didn't know what to do with these guys, so they put them all in one group.
And they're a little comical, you know. And I actually think out of all of them, I think that Crazy Steve might have the biggest career ahead of him because he has an interesting look, you know, with the clown makeup and everything. And he can actually, you know, wrestle and in the X division. And so I think that you could do some really interesting things with him. I actually hope that they do as well. I think that he's could be potentially the breakout star. I mean, last week he had a good X division match. So, you know, and of course this week, the Menagerie, they took on the Wolves. They lost, which is actually kind of nice because I really, really, really hate when they have, you know, these people that they put together and then all of a sudden they're like unstoppable. It's like, oh, no. You know, I think like Rusev. Like, Rusev has not lost a match yet, and it's kind of annoying, to be honest, because it's like, oh, he's taking on Kofi, he's going to squash him. He's taking on R-Truth, he's going to squash him. At least here now, it's like, oh, hey, you know what, they're beatable, you know, that's good.
Just to let you know that his first loss, Rusev's, will be to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, and even that actually would be really dumb, but have Hacksaw help out Swagger, that's what I would do. It would help get Swagger over then. So anyway, Andy, your boy Rhino makes his return.
Is it Rhino with an I or a Y?
This one is with an I.
He's not my boy then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He makes his return. He attacks Bully. All right, that's great. I guess I think it's interesting when you bring ECW guys back. Rhino, I can make an argument that Rhino is just basic wrestling move, wrestling move, two bumps and a spear guy and nothing else. It's just that he brought that intensity of the gore and the way he set it up was awesome, but that's it. So it was nice to see him back on TV and that's it. That's all I really think about it. Bully Ray, I think his character is awesome. I think it's something that I would have always thought that D-Von would have been the breakout star because of his look. And Bully...
Oh, I would never have thought that, ever.
No, I believe that because I figured, okay, D-Von has a look. They could use... I figure they'd do something religious with him. But Bully was just kind of like the guy who said, get the tables, and wore the glasses and was completely overweight and could not... could wrestle, but...
He was good on the mic, though, you know?
And
he got better. He got better...
And he learned from people in TNA. That's how and he got better because of that. Because I think he actually finally realized, what are they doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? How can I improve on both those things? And he has, and that's why Bully Ray has turned into the person that he is today. Rhino, well, so, I don't think was ever could ever. There's nothing that you can do with Rhino.
So yeah, I you're referring to Bully Ray because Rhino came out and he attacked Bully Ray, which is setting up that Rhino and Bully will then have potentially a feud because of Dixie Carter, because Rhino's joining Dixie and her gang. So it sounds like you're not a big fan of Rhino then.
I was, but then he's not like he was. And he used to, I mean, that gore used to be a huge deal. And now it's kind of like everyone does it. But here's the thing. Everyone does a super kick, but Shawn Michaels' super kick looks 100 times better than anyone else's. The Last Call, even when Sugar Shane the Hurricane, but Don't Call Me Gregory, uses it, it's the same thing. It looks, they make it look good, but everyone does it. You know, like,
so I actually like Rhino. I'm actually a big fan of him. And I think that he is a nice, stocky guy. And he's actually, surprisingly enough, he's still pretty young.
Wait, how old is he?
What would you guess?
45.
So, you know, obviously I said, you know, he's surprisingly young. So, you know, you're like, oh,
I'm
well
just
then.
Guessing. I mean, okay, realistic, he's probably like 37.
No, he's 38.
Okay, well, I was close.
Which, what you know what that means, right? I mean, he'd been doing ECW since he was like 20.
Right.
So, I mean, he got in when he was young, you know, very, very young. And I actually think that, you know, he has been around quite a bit. You know, he was in ECW. He was in WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff. And he's done it very successfully. And honestly, I think that if you put him in really good storylines, he can make something work. And he can, you know, when you see the gore, it always looks very impressive. And I think him going against Bully, it's, you know, it's one of his old friends stabbing him in the back. And so I think that it's actually going to be a good storyline with Bully and Dixie, because I actually was not digging it at all. But the Dixie Bully thing now, I cannot wait to see what's going to happen next. I like tuning in now to Thursdays, and I think that's one of my main things right now is Dixie versus Bully.
Eh, don't care.
Sounds like you're not like that, though.
I could care less. I could care less the fact that Lashley actually, he retains against Eric Young. Yep, don't care. I just don't care because Lashley shouldn't have the title. EY shouldn't have had the title. It should have been someone else.
Lashley's not a bad champion, though. Why is Lashley a bad champion?
It makes sense right now because they're like, who are they going to put the strap on? Well, we can't put on MVP, so let's put on Bobby Lashley. That's pretty much what it's turned into.
Yeah, but you have a potential here then to have a face take the title off of Lashley and then maybe have MVP take the title from him. And then that guy wins the title back. So let's say, you know, I'm going to use an example here. Let's say Samoa Joe, you know, and people are going to think I'm a broken record, which is fine. But let's say Samoa Joe and Lashley have this big, you know, brawl, and they're two big guys. So this is a fight actually you probably want to see. And when you see those two go at it and you see Samoa Joe win, it's like, wow, that was awesome. And then maybe you have MVP win the title from Samoa Joe, and then Samoa Joe builds himself back up to win the title back. You know, it'd be almost the equivalent of, let's say Kane had the WWE title, Daniel Bryan then won it from him, but then Triple H won it from Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel Bryan's got to build back up to win the title again. It'd almost be kind of like that.
I don't know, man.
And so like, it sounds like you are not a Lashley fan at all.
There's no way you could convince me that he actually should have the strap, in all seriousness.
I'm not saying he should.
If they were going to do anything, if they wanted to make him a transitional champion, that's fine. Have, you know, Bobby Roode win the title from him. That's what they should have really done.
Yeah.
And that's what hopefully will happen. But here's my main concern right now. Don't we do standings for Bound for Glory?
Yeah.
Is that going to start anytime soon?
It probably will. I mean, they've taped like 10 episodes, so I'm sure that
they never mentioned it once.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
So that means they're going to have basically 3 or 4 weeks prior to the pay-per-view to come up with a point system or say, we decided not to do it.
Well, I'd have to take a look to see where they taped through. I think it's through
6 weeks.
It's 6 weeks. So, I mean, we're talking
worth of tapings.
Yeah. So we're talking all of July and part of August, which means that, yeah, you're going to have probably 6 weeks for the Bound for Glory series.
So they're just going to be like, oh, by the way, here's the point systems. We're going to go back to these matches and count those.
Well, you know what they might do, too? They might do just a quick, like, double elimination where you face, like, two people and whoever loses twice is out. And, you know, anyone else, they go forward or something. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different things that they could do. And I'm okay with them changing it up. To be honest, I really thought having 12 people in there round robin was just ridiculous. That was so dumb having 12 people. I didn't care as much, you know. Or if you have 12 people, have a cutoff point where you say, you know what, we're going to have 4 matches. Whoever's the lowest amount, you guys are out. And then we're going to do it, you know, some more. And we're lowest 4, you're out, you know. Make it so I care about the people, because you know what, to be honest, 12 people, they had Jay Bradley in there. Who the hell is Jay Bradley? I mean, he's not even on the roster anymore. You know, if that says anything,
he has a boomstick.
Yeah.
His elbow.
Exactly. So I think that's the big thing. It's like, who cares? You know, if you did a, like I said, double elimination tournament, you know, or do a, like King of the Ring type thing, you could do something like that. And you know, just have it like be bigger, more grandiose. That's an option.
Hypothetically, if TNA did their own network and they just basically ran shows from day one and they would just run them all the time, like they would do the first 4 episodes of the pay-per-views that they used to do on Wednesday nights. And they would just do the first four on like, I don't know, Monday, and then the rest was just repeats over and over again. And then on Tuesday, they did the same thing. And then
they wouldn't do what WWE does. They would not do that at all. It would be very Netflix-like. You would not have a channel that's live, pretty much. You would not have that.
Okay, so you think it would be a Netflix? I mean, okay, let's
have to be.
Okay, let's hypothetically say that Spike does not renew them. Do you think they would have to go to that system? And if they did, do they have to do it so it's online, or do they beg someone like Netflix to do partner with them so they have like an Impact Wrestling channel like they're gonna do supposedly with Chelsea lately?
Well, the Chelsea Handler thing I think is different. You know, I mean, it's more unique of what they're trying to do. I think what TNA would do is that they would probably go for Netflix type thing. They would see if that was even an option. Probably isn't. So you'd go to YouTube, but you know what? You're not going to bring in as much money. You know, you're just not. So maybe you go to Hulu, you know, maybe try to go to another network. I'm sure that there are a lot of other networks out there that would say, you know what? We would love to have a show that's going to guarantee a 1 point rating every single week. And if we advertise you, you have the potential to get to 1.5 and potential to even get to 2. Now, if TNA got to a 2, do you have any idea how nervous WWE would be? They'd be freaking out.
They would only be nervous if their ratings change.
No, they would be nervous if TNA's ratings changed. If TNA doubled in viewership, that means that people that were watching WWE are also watching TNA.
Well, okay. Let's just say that they get stuck having to go to like a network like G4. Oh, wait, they can't because that's owned by NBC. All right. I'm trying to think of someone else that owns another station that they actually could potentially go to.
Well, let's just say they went to Fox or something.
Let's say they go to Fox. All right. So you can go to Fox Sports. If they went to a 2.0, the first show, I wouldn't be scared. If they continued that trend for the next 3 weeks at a 2.0, I would be scared at that time. Do I believe they'll ever hit that? Never. I don't believe they'll ever get over a 1.4.
Ever.
Ever. Ever as in, like, I hope they make it till at least December 31st, so my prediction's right that they stayed active the entire year, and I don't lose another one.
On Spike TV, they will never hit a 1.4. I will agree with you there.
I just don't believe that they'll be on Spike TV.
You don't think they're going to be on Spike TV at the end of the year?
I think that that what will happen is that Spike TV will come up to them and then give them like half of what they were making before. And if they say they're going to shop somewhere else, they'll just be like, that's fine, because Cops pulls in more viewers than your show does.
It doesn't, though. It doesn't. Take a look. It doesn't. That is a you'll have to take a look.
We'll update it. Okay, get the number next week. I'll prove you wrong.
All right. Okay. I can't wait to see it.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to this show. And also, listeners, if you want to let Aaron know that he's wrong, he's at AP Hughes. And if you want to let me know that I'm right, I'm at AHughes86. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.